Good morning, everyone. Be turning in your Bibles to several scriptures. First, in the book of Romans, chapter 3, and verses 19 through 28. The title of our sermon today, or topic, is The Awakening of the Sinner. The Awakening of the Sinner. Starting in Romans 3, 19 through 28. We're going to be focusing on just one aspect of the sinner when he's awakened, what he is confronted with, and that is the law of God. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where's boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. I think I'll read a couple other texts of Scripture before we get into the basic introduction and then to the heart of the message this morning. Be turning over with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Galatians 3, verses 10 and 11. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Make a note of that. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, God requires sinless perfection. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. The just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And then the book of James, chapter 2. Verses 9 through 11. Whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Verse 10. For he that saith, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do, for they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. From these passages, we are taught many things. But we're interested this morning in the topic of what it means to be awakened. To have the eyes of our understanding opened so that we may see ourselves as we are in the sight of God. The Bible clearly teaches that all men are born dead in trespasses and sins. They all have natural faculties, but they do not see and comprehend with force the concept that they are a condemned being under the curse of God. They may even intellectually assent to that, but yet they're not convinced that that's really the case. And until the enlightening work of the Holy Spirit occurs, they will remain that way. So what do we mean by the word enlightening or awakening? Listen carefully. The awakening is a divine operation of the Holy Spirit of God on the natural faculties of the dead sinner, which become complete and effectual within the life of the elect sinner. It is when the eyes of the understanding are opened and they see themselves as God sees them, they are said to have been awakened by the work of the Holy Spirit. So I would ask each of you, my hearers that's listening to me today, have you ever been awakened? How do you know this? It's by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, there are many elements that we could cover that are involved when God awakens the sinner. For example, he sees who God is, sees who he is, he sees who Christ is. And that all are truly awakened, they come to Christ. Everyone that heareth the word, when they are awakened by the work of the Spirit, they effectually come to Christ. And they come freely and they come willingly because they have become convinced of something. So we want to then, though, focus not on all of these elements, but just strictly on the role of the law of God as the sinner is awakened to see what the law is really all about. The sinner will be awakened to know himself, what a miserable, helpless sinner that he is. And those who boast of their goodness and will not admit their sinnerhood have never had the first awakening of the Holy Spirit. Say that again. Anyone who does not believe that they are a wicked, guilty sinner has never been awakened by the Holy Spirit of God. That not only speaks volumes to those who are outside of the religious circle, it speaks volumes to those who are on the pews of churches, who do many good deeds, maybe even to the extent of casting out demons and doing great works. But if they've never been brought to the awakening of the Holy Spirit where they see themselves not as good, but as bad, they've never been awakened. They may have been baptized. They may be going to church. They may fast. They may tithe. They may do all religious deeds of what the Old Testament people were obligated to do or what the New Testament people are given as duties under Christ. But if they've never been awakened to see that the law holds them under its curse because they have broken it. And if they have broken it but in one part, they become guilty of it all and condemned before God. Man then must be brought when he is awakened to not only see that he is helplessly condemned, but he must be awakened to see that he has no ability to meet the demands of the law. God's law requires 100% perfection. And you and I can't provide that. So if a religious person is trusting in, well, I do some things, I'll be all right. No, you must do all things perfectly. And that you have no ability to do that. You've already sinned. And your good deed won't cancel out that sin. You do not have the ability to meet the demands of the law. It not only demands perfect righteousness on the part of the sinner, but that righteousness must flow out of a perfect nature as that which existed in Adam prior to the fall. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of Adam's children and all of their children, right on down to where you and I are at, none of us came into this world with a perfect nature. We came into this world out of, David says, came out of his mother's womb speaking lies. He had a nature that was sinful, therefore his deeds would manifest that. It's not as many religious, even elements of the Christian faith say that we are born with an innocent nature and when we commit the first act of sin, then our nature becomes polluted. No, we are conceived in sin. We have a sinful nature, therefore all of our actions as such are polluted. So God not only requires perfect actions, He requires that those actions flow out of a perfect nature. Therefore, we can't meet the law's demands, we don't have the ability, and we cannot provide a perfect righteousness. Next of all, the law teaches that it demands full payment for that which is broken. The wages of sin is what? It's death. The law demands payment. God's law, when it is broken. And somebody must make that payment if the law is to remain satisfied. The law of God must be satisfied. And since we have sinned and come short of the glory of God, then all of that which we have broken must be paid for. Now, how is it going to be paid for? And this extends not only to bodily actions, but to thoughts of the mind as well. For we sin not only in body, but also in thought. So it speaks to our whole being, our physical being and our moral or spiritual being. Now, I'm going to be brief this morning, rather fatigued after a very laborious week, but I want to press this upon us all by asking you the question, have you ever been truly awakened by God? And how can you know that? First of all, the law must be satisfied in three ways. Stay with me. First of all, it must be satisfied first on the grounds of perfect obedience. That's what God requires out of us. Perfect obedience. Not just a little bit or a whole lot, but the law requires that wherever it has been violated or broken, in order for it to be satisfied, the law be satisfied. It requires perfect obedience on the party that has broken it. If I get a speeding ticket and I go to court and the judge says $100, $99 doesn't get it. It's a $100 fine, let's say. It requires a perfect amount of what the law specifies. And the law specifies that in order for it to be satisfied, here is one way it can be satisfied. You provide perfect obedience. Now, has your conscience been awakened to that? Or are you still trying to hide behind the robes of self-righteousness? Well, I'm not as other men are. I'm not out here looting and killing and robbing and stealing. I'm not in that category. Well, what category are you in? Are you in the sinless category? Well, no. Well, what sins are you guilty of? Your conscience is already naming some of them. Whatever those sins are, the law says pay up. Well, how much? Perfect obedience. Anybody want to try to get to heaven that way? Are you convinced of that? Are you convinced that the law of God requires nothing less than perfect, sinless obedience? If you are, you've been awakened. If you're not yet convinced of that, I don't care who you are, what kind of a person you are, what religious affiliation you are, if you do not believe that the law requires something less than perfect obedience, you have not been awakened. And you're not a Christian, and you're on your way to hell. But there's a second way. Oh, good. Maybe there's another way for me to get around to this thing. There's a second way in which the law can be satisfied. You ready? Hold on. It can be satisfied by your eternal condemnation. Those that are in hell today and will be in hell forever are there satisfying the law of God. We read over in Revelation chapter 20 of the great white throne of judgment that they shall be cast into the lake of fire where they shall be tormented day and night. The Bible clearly teaches there is a hell and that it is eternal. Why? Because that's the only way the sinner who has broken the law that is there can satisfy the demands of the law, and they will never be able to satisfy it. If you're awakened, then, Brother Jim, you believe that you would be worthy if God sent you to hell. If you do not believe that God is just, that if He sent you to hell, you've never been awakened and you're not a Christian. And you're on your way to eternal condemnation. How can the law be satisfied? Perfect obedience. If that isn't sufficient, eternal condemnation for those who have broken the law forever and ever and ever and ever. That's why hell is eternal, you see. Is that the punishment that is going on there is worthy of eternality because of the validity of the broken law, seeking to have its demands satisfied. You agree with that? Do you agree? Can you confess before me today that you cannot provide perfect obedience? Can you confess before me today that if you get what you deserve, you will get eternal condemnation in hell? Now, if you're hesitant on that and say, I don't know whether I can bring myself to agree with that, then you've never been awakened by the Spirit of God. All of those who are awakened by the Spirit of God willingly confess they can't obey the law and that they deserve eternal punishment in the world to come. Now, you remember I said there are three ways for the law to be satisfied. You're getting good, ready for good news? Hadn't been much good news yet. It can be satisfied first by perfect obedience, secondly by eternal condemnation, and thirdly, it can be satisfied by perfect substitution. Somebody has come who has lived a life in which they have never sinned. One man, that man is named Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, could stand before the multitudes. Which one of you can point out sin? Where have I broken the law? I'm the one who has given the law. I've never broken it. I always do the will of my Father who sent me. And not only have I lived a perfect substituted life, but I also died as a substitute in the place of guilty, helpless, disobedient, eternally condemned sinners. I did that. And that I died not for any sin of my own. Since the wages of sin is death, why did I die? Jesus could say. I haven't done anything worthy of death. And that's because the grand doctrine of the Christian faith of the cross is that He was the just one dying in the place of the unjust, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Perfect substitution. Three ways, I repeat, in which the law can be satisfied. Perfect obedience. You want to go that way? If you don't, the second way the law can be satisfied is you by suffering eternally in hell to pay your sin debt. Or the third way is that you can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His substituted life, His substituted death, wherein He can provide a perfect obedience through His substitution. Now, have you been awakened to that? Do you welcome that? Boy, it's been a long time since I've had hand-holding. I almost get the tendency to go back to my Arminian days. How many of you really believe that Jesus Christ is your only hope in righteousness, huh? That's our hope, is it not? Have you been awakened to that? Have you been awakened to see there's no hope in your perfect obedience? And you certainly don't want to satisfy the law's demands by going to hell for all eternity to have it met, its demands met there. Then have you been awakened to see that there's no other way to have righteousness in the sight of God other than through the righteousness that's in the substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived and died for guilty sinners? Which category are you in? I don't try to play on people's emotions by bowing heads and closing eyes and praying prayers and lifted hands and walking aisles and so forth. I'm trying to show you how that today you can know whether or not you've been awakened. For those who have never been awakened will not confess that they are guilty beyond all hope. They will not confess that they deserve eternity in hell. And they will not confess that Christ and Christ only is the hope of the guilty sinner. They won't confess that. No matter how religious they may be, they won't confess it. But I want to stand before you today and say, I'm willing to confess that my only hope is built on nothing less than what? Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's the way I hope to meet the demands of the law of God. I've been awakened. I once was dead in trespasses and sins, filled with my own righteousness, with my own hopes. Didn't have time for God, the things of the Word, busy, living a life of sin and selfishness, dead toward the things of God. And then God opened my eyes and I became alive to my lost estate. I became alive as to where I was heading. And I became alive that I could avoid that destiny by looking to a cross in which the one on that cross lived and died in my place. And I freely and willingly came to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no outside force that twisted my arms that made me do something I didn't want to do. I wanted to do that which God says, come to the Son. There's hope in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I came. All that the Father giveth me shall what? Shall come. And God will have a willing people. God doesn't save unwilling people. He makes us willing as we see how the demands of the law are satisfied. So that's why even though that we're not ashamed to call ourselves Calvinists, we totally reject the idea that is smeared upon us in effectual calling that God makes some people saved who don't want to be saved. That is not true at all. Everybody whom God enlightens to see their sin, they are drawn effectually and they willingly come to Christ and believe in Him. Which category are you in? A, B, or C? If you've never come to Christ, this is a good day to do it. Have you been awakened this morning? Are you awakened? Do you welcome salvation by grace through faith in Christ and Christ alone? Let's close in prayer. Thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. We pray, O God, that it might ever be that. When we preach, that sinners can understand what it takes to be saved. And may your Holy Spirit continue to do His work in calling out your elect, those whom you've given to the Son, to bring to grace and faith in Him. I thank you for the many years that you've enabled me to preach the gospel of your Son. And I pray as my years draw to a close that when it comes time to place me in the casket, that it will be said of him, he remained faithful to the gospel. He didn't go astray into false doctrine of works and human goodness and faith in ordinances to cleanse, but he stayed true to the purity of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your word today, and might it even be such that through the word this morning, some soul that has struggled with assurance or some soul that has never been awakened, that they might have their eyes open to say, I see it. I see it now. I believe that. And I want to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. We pray this in His name. Amen. Brother Bob.